Thank you.
We are back in session now. Tim and Jay. Back on the agenda, we're at TR 008. There a motion on TR 18-008?
I'll make a motion to do pass full council without recommendation.
Okay. Motion made to move forward to full council without recommendation. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Second is made. Okay.
Discussion.
You want to make
I'd like to make a motion, Chair.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion on page, I guess it's the first page, line 23, 24.
Okay.
To eliminate.
Okay.
Line
23, 24. Okay, motion made to eliminate, start at line 23 and line ending at line 24. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Not roll call, please, on the amendment.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I have 4 in favor, 0 against.
We have 4 in favor, none against. That amendment's been approved. Now back to the main motion as amended. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I have 4 in favor, 0 against.
Have 4 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Thank you. Next on the agenda is TR 18-010, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Jerry McPeak to serve as the tribal administrator of the Muscogee Creek Nation. Motion.
Motion to postpone indefinitely.
Motion made to postpone indefinitely. Do you hear a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
Chairman, I'm 4 in favor, 0 against.
That motion has been approved. 4 in favor, none against. Moving on down to TR 18-012, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Paula Willis to serve on the Gaming Net Operation Authority Board. Motion made to pass. For a second?
Second.
Also, Lucian Tiger would like to be co-sponsor. Do I have anybody okay with that?
Who made that motion?
What?
Travis made it.
Yeah, Travis made it, yeah. Okay. Floor's open for discussion, but does anybody have a problem with Lucian being the co-sponsor? Okay. Lucian will be a co-sponsor. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Chairman, I'm 4 in favor, 0 against.
Okay, a favor, 4 in favor, none against. That's been approved. Thank you. Paula will be here at 9 o'clock. Pre-agenda. Moving on down the agenda is NCA 18-006, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation appropriating the funds to be used to conduct a fiber feasibility study.
Chairman, I make a motion to pass.
Motion to pass. Here, a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Adam Jones?
Yes.
Chairman, I have 4 in favor, 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Now, funding source. Interest of permanent fund. Moving on down to referred legislation. NCA 18-011. Have funding sources?
Mr. Chairman, that will be interest on permanent fund for both funds.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the interest of permanent fund for funding for the referred legislation?
Thank you.
Here, a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Bieber.
Yes.
Travis Scott.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Chairman, I have 4 in favor, 0 against.
We have 4 in favor, 0 against. That's been approved. Down to other business.
Can you make a motion to move DME to the top?
Motion been made to move DME to the top. There a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, at this time, DME, come forth, please.
All of us?
Yes. Yes. So we can see who you are. That was just you?
We brought our CPA in case you had any questions for him.
Okay.
So we have Mr. Marriott, and then Georgia. Arden's on the board. Mayor is on the board, and I'm on the board, and Paula is our manager.
Okay. Good evening.
Go ahead, sit. Do you have, she brought some, our last financials.
Okay.
Did you guys have these already?
No.
No.
December.
Here. Hand me some.
Okay. These are October.
These different ones?
Yeah. It should be October, November, and December.
Can I get one of the other ones?
I got December. Do you want?
No.
You have December one?
December.
Thank you.
File.
Yep. These are my
ones. Okay.
I don't know. Is it grand
or November? It doesn't have
November. I don't know anybody else.
Do you have November?
I do. Thank you.
October, November.
I don't have November.
No. Is that October?
Mm-hmm. What do you need in your mind?
October.
October.
Oh, yeah. October for everybody?
Okay,
we
got
October. No, they don't look good either.
Yeah,
they should. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay.
October, November.
These two are October.
I got three.
Two.
Okay.
December.
Oh, you need December?
I
got three.
One more in November.
I've got three.
You need another December?
I need three of them.
Here.
Here's three. Here's October. Anybody else keep October? I should have had it.
They didn't have it. Yeah.
Okay, are you done now?
David?
It's October.
Well, thanks for coming tonight. Go ahead. You guys have any questions for David, Pete? You might kind of just give us a kind of brief what's going on, with how are things working there and so forth this time. Chairman?
Well, we're able to bill Medicare now, Medicaid, Blue Cross Blue Shield,
Health Choice, Community Care.
And you want to get a little report?
Okay, sure. Probably I'll just look at December because it's going to bring all the 3 months together.
Yep.
And you want to, quite a few pages, but if you go, actually go the sixth page back, there's two income statements. One shows the variance between for dollars, and the other one calculates percentages of the expenses compared to the sales. I'm going to look at that one. You can see that the 3 months ended December 31st of 2017, which would be the third column, or the next to the last column on the right, compared to 16, they've got more income now. The ability to bill Medicare and Medicaid is starting to reap benefits and generate more income. They're also generating more gross profit, they've increased their gross profit percentage from about 45% to 56%, which is basically just the percentage of sales compared to the cost of the product. So they've got a profit for 3 months of $3,507, whereas last year for the 3 months, they had a $30,000 loss. So the ability to generate increased sales and keep the expenses pretty steady and a little bit more gross profit is starting to create some profitability.
Okay. Any quick questions, Pete? David?
No. No. Travis?
No.
Adam? Picker?
That's
Joyce?
Pete?
Yeah.
James?
Come see him.
Chief, any questions?
Thank you.
No questions.
Can we have a question?
Yeah, sure.
We're having some issues with collecting from the nation. The majority of our revenue is from contract health, but we're holding a large balance. Like right now, it's $37,000. We're having difficulty with that. And contract health is getting it through, but it's the finance people that's having problems writing the checks, I think.
And it's part of the accounts receivable. It's actually included in sales, the uncollected amounts, but it's included in accounts receivable and they haven't turned it into cash yet.
We have a, keep a low inventory, so when they want something, then we have to turn around and order it and pay for it, and then we're waiting and waiting and waiting for that money. We have a policy that we've made that we're going to start charging an interest rate, but we haven't done it yet, but we're thinking we're going to have to go ahead and start putting that in effect.
Okay.
Because none of the other companies, they don't do that. I mean, they charge.
Ms. Rowe, you want to comment on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can get with Melinda Yardy from Contract Help on Monday, or actually I'll try to call her tomorrow. I don't believe it's an issue with finance. We're getting checks turned around in 2 days once we get the invoice. So it would be somewhere between them releasing the invoice to us. But I will follow up with her and try to find out what the issue is.
I think Melinda Baker is the one that does ours.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Melinda Baker.
Okay. And she's been rebilling for us because we've not gotten it, so she's rebilling. We have back from September that we haven't collected yet.
Okay. Anything else, somebody? No, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Muskogee Loan Fund Board.
Chairman, would it be appropriate to bring the complete board up here?
Sure. Yeah, very well. Once everybody introduce themselves to everybody, so sure Ray gets up here.
Okay.
Once everybody introduce themselves to the committee, and
yes.
Sure. My name is Luann Hudson. I am a commercial loan officer for Bank of Oklahoma. I work out of the Muskogee branch. And I've been on this board for a few years now. Greatly enjoyed it.
My name is Earl King. I've served on the board's initial, this Muskogee Loan Fund was set up by Bill Fines, who was the first Secretary of the Nation. I served as a board member, and then now I'm the chairman of the board. I received a letter from the speaker and the board to attend your meeting, and your board had requested that we bring financials. Is that correct?
Just kind of give us a general update of how it's working and how you guys are, how's it going? I guess it's fine.
Okay.
Give yourself to everybody.
CEO Chris Coburn will give you that information.
Okay. Yeah, that too. I'm Christopher Coburn, the CEO since July of last year. A lot of things are happening. So we were told you wanted some financial updates, and we've been working closely with the Comptroller's Office and Marcus Vega on improving practices as well as a lot of other places. So I've kind of got this broken down. I did give you some general information so you have an idea of what we do as far as a whole with the brochure. And then we're going to be having a website launch hopefully in March. We're also doing, in addition to lending, we have a financial mandate as part of a community development financial institution with U.S. Treasury as a CDFI fund, where the bulk of what we do is lending. But the other part of our mission is helping people understand finances, helping people grow in their ability to build assets and things like that. So we have financial literacy projects. The Secretary of the Nation's office, working with Chief, they're doing a lot of global things as far as financial education. We're kind of the, I'm trying to position us as the boots on the ground people, where we can actually help people coach about whether it's a personal financial matter, budgeting, business financial matter, where do they go, what do they do? And we have solutions to try to help people get started as far as business lending. We have corrected a lot of aspects of previous operations that were not done correctly or according to policy. And then we're hoping this next year to expand in a couple of ways. Consumer lending is a need for our employees. There are some products out there that other CDFIs use that help people that are, maybe their credit score is lower and they need help restructuring some debt so that they can qualify for maybe getting to a housing loan or other things. There's a huge need for boots on the ground counseling. So financial counseling, working with people through budgets, as well as doing other education things and events, some of which is mandated in our grants, several grants that are expiring. So if I may, I'd like to give you kind of a rundown. I didn't make a handout to give you.
Sorry, Greg.
Okay. So our portfolio right now has 37 active loans. Our portfolio total value lent is $889,469. Okay, that's since inception in 2014. Funding available to lend. Our initial funding came via the council, and it came also with a council match to a HUD grant, ICDBG grant. That is beginning the closeout phase. We will have to close that out by the end of September, as far as activity, and then close out the books by the end of December of this year. The amount of money that we were lending total in that program was $500,000 of that 889. Part of it was designated youth, part of it was designated adult. Of that, I have 50,000 remaining to lend of that $500,000. Okay. We also were approved and are participating in a USDA program called the IRP. It's a relending program. Okay, so it's a perpetual pool of money. And it was a loan to the nation of $500,000 that we draw down per loan. Okay, so of that loan, we've pulled down we have $282,600 left at a 1% loan for us to relend. Okay, we can relend that, we can obligate those funds up until April 23rd, and beyond that, we can't. And we're paying that back. So it's very cheap money for us to use to turn around and relend for our needs. So that's going to be our primary source of lending capital. We also have the monies that we earned historically by lending. So what did we make on repaid principal? What did we make on interest rate margin? What did we make on fees from the activities of the loan fund? And when I came before you a few months ago to ask you to create a revolving fund and a loan loss reserve fund, that was to comply with how we need to record and capture and tell the council, how are we getting to where we will not always need council support? How are we getting towards self-sustenance? Working with Marcus Vega in finance and also the controller, we have a preliminary number of that amount of how much we'll be able to retain. I just got his chart this afternoon, and I'm not sure I can fully understand that, so I'd like to refer back to you on exactly how much, but the ballpark of $150,000 or so, that's kind of like retained earnings that we can use within the fund and relend out of that or make an operations budget out of that. Our existing council budget is coming from you for our employees. Delinquency rates, and Representative Beaver, you brought that up back when you were asking about that. Historically, the loan fund loans were not treated like loans. Policy said to do so, but that wasn't done. And when someone doesn't pay a loan, you have to begin collections, and you have to go through, and collateral is at risk. We have begun actively working our loans. When I took over in July, our delinquency was very high. It was about 80%. We have worked them diligently, working with people and getting it down. I can say now, so instead of 80% in January to July of last year, now we're at 50% delinquency. We've made a 30% gain in getting people to pay like they should. Some of those loans, however, from the early days, are probably not going to work out. We're going to have to go through the collections and the court routes. So that will be coming shortly, but that's part of what a healthy financial institution has that gives it integrity of it being not a grant, a loan. So that's in our horizon of the next few months. Some of your constituents might be in the position of that, I don't know. So collection letters have gone out. Those that didn't respond or wouldn't respond by phone, we're starting to send those certified mail. We're sending out a request for proposal to several different attorneys groups. We were advised that we need to seek our own counsel because lending is a special area. And so we'll be selecting, the board will be selecting an attorney to begin our pre-litigation and our litigation process to clean up the rest of our books. And so that's not going to be pleasant. It would have been better if we dealt with it over time with each client, but we're dealing with cleaning up the past. As far as loans that we've made now, all are performing since July, and most are performing from even from 16 into 17 under the previous leader and myself. So as a trend, that's getting better. New policies and procedures. We looked at the best in the CDFI industry as far as loan funds, and we have taken the best of their policies and procedures and what we learned from the Opportunity Finance Network, which is the national group that supports community development financial institutions. The board is working with me, and we will vote at the February 7th meeting, you're welcome to attend, on adopting the new policies and procedures pertaining also to commercial lending. And then we also, from those same groups, they have successful consumer lending and employee programs. We'll be bringing that to them for preliminary consideration in February and then to vote on in March. One discussion I had with Dr. Hughes with HR is some employees are abusing the 401k loan process, and there's a need for short-term capital like the old employee loan used to provide. There are ways and controls to where we can do it at very low interest, very low risk, and we can meet a need for our employees. And so that's something we're looking at bringing about. Training. You may want to know, both myself and our staff, one member of my staff, went through commercial underwriting training with the American Banking Association, and I also went through small business and commercial lending certification with American Banking Association, just to give some more detail on how we need to fix this. The IRS, we've gone through a project for training for my team. I'm not quite sure the story of how it happened, but the IRS approached different Native American tribes about VITA, Volunteers and Tax Assistance. It's a ability to help do taxes for people at no cost and help them. So somehow or another, and Secretary McIntosh is here, somehow or another that came to his plate and of his team, I thought my team, because we deal with finances anyway, we would be the best to tackle that. So we've adopted VITA. Going forward, VITA will be a program that we will take care of, Volunteers and Tax Assistance. But the gist of it is, my team of four, counting myself, as well as about four other employees from other departments, we're going to be doing taxes by appointment only for Native American, for Creek Nation citizens, Creek Nation employees, or households that are blended with a Creek Nation citizen in them. So if they make $64,000 or less in income, they qualify for the IRS VITA program. In essence, we're doing guided self-service taxes, taking them through a tax slayer-based system and helping them save the money, the $150 to $300 returns and predatory lending on a payday loan or whatever, you know, might happen with the payday loan, I misspoke, but refund anticipation loan, things like that. As well as we can also track how much of economic benefit it is on tax returns going back to our citizen. So we estimate on the low end, if we do 200 successful returns over this period from the 30th of January to the 12th of April. We're going to do it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, three appointments, two in the morning, one in the afternoon, two people at a time. We estimate on the low end, it'll be a $500,000 positive impact back to the nation and our citizens. So we're going to be doing that. Spending frenzy is an immersion game we do with youth to teach them how to deal with money and the life and the income. We did that successfully in September with our dorm. We're going to make that an annual thing. We're getting lots of schools calling us and Indian youth summer camps and others. So going forward, we're going to do this at least three times a year to teach them how to handle money. Business boot camps. We have a program that we purchased in the past called Indian Entrepreneurship. It's basically a native-friendly way of looking at the whole business life cycle from inception through business plans, including marketing and analysis and laying it all out. In a two-day format, it's what we do with people when we coach them on how to do that. But we're going to be doing four different sessions. We'll be doing a session in Tulsa, a session in Okmulgee. We're also looking at Muskogee and then also in Wetumpka at the Southern Command offices. These are grant requirements as far as the HUD ICDBG that we've got to fulfill. So we have some funding to do it, but it would be helpful to our citizens also because it's going to increase their knowledge base. So those will be coming up in the next few months. There are some things that we are looking forward to that we need help with that we don't necessarily have in place. One of the things is community development financial institutions, the majority of them across the nation, were set up as 501c3 federal entities. The advantage of that is that you can attract private donated capital. And for some grants, you have to be a 501c3 to qualify. We were not set up that way. We were set up as a tribal not-for-profit under tribal law. So we don't have the ability to go to a large bank or a large company and say, we can help you with a donation for a tax certificate. And we are too far along in the process as an entity to stop and start over. We're becoming very viable. So our other option, rather than recreating the wheel like it should have been at the beginning, is to create a companion organization related to us or controlled by us by some way. And we've asked to have an attorney contract evaluated by the AG's office, and our board has voted to ask to seek counsel, the special nonprofit attorney, to see the best way to create that and make that happen. But going forward in the future, grants are starting to dry up, but donated capital with tax law, especially for corporate, is going to be there. So we estimate on the low end we can attract $250,000 a year in capital to support these kind of things we're doing. We're hoping to make that happen. So that's coming up. We also see a need for boots on the ground counselors / financial educators, people that's what they do, and they do one-on-one, like we do these classes or seminars, but people can make appointments and we can walk through them one-on-one and walk through their budgets and walk them through what to do. That's a need that we have. It would help people on preparation for personal reasons, for consumer lending, for business lending, and for housing. Housing needs HUD-certified counselors. And many CDFIs are partnered with housing. The team that I get could eventually do that and have that as a thing that we offer. So what I'm trying to do for this committee is tackle each systemic problem we've had and fix it before I come back to you and ask for, here's the help I need. And so I'll be able to tell you, here's what we're earning, here's what we've collected, here's what we had to write off, and here's all the things we're doing correctly to go forward and thrive. So likely I would like to come back to you by invitation maybe in March and seek to bridge this gap. The consumer lending products we're considering are employee loans, Christmas loans, and credit repair loans for our citizens. The credit repair loans would be the riskiest because they wouldn't be to our employees. But they would be the most social impact because we could help shift them from a bad position with something on the credit file to a better position if we also address the underlying behaviors, which is why the counselors are necessary. And then just upcoming, just to be aware, we will have positive things happening, the VITA project ongoing and others, and spending frenzies and boot camps, but we've got to go to court. Some people haven't paid us for over almost 2 years. And they were never declared delinquent or default. And And it, you know, this isn't, for a financial institution to exist, delinquency for CDFI, an excellent CDFI has a 10% delinquency. The best in the country that we're modeling ourselves after have a 1% delinquency. We're following their policies, we're following their training, we're trying to be like them. We started at 80 when I came in, and when Secretary McIntosh came in. We are at 50 now. We can't collect all of the rest of this, but we're not behind on what we're doing. But I think going forward, our norm will approach 20s and eventually in that 10% excellent range, possibly within the next year and a half. And that will help. And also, we just got today invited to a HUD-sponsored lender forum where people are looking for capital. Business-qualified lenders are looking to meet lenders. And for today, we got invited to the first forum like that as a financial institution. So very next Friday to represent us and see if I could find us some better loan clients. So that's where we're headed.
Okay.
There were some issues in the early days. There were some bets that I wouldn't have made if I was in the chair. I can't go back in time and change that. But we've put in very strict financial controls. We're working with accountability partners. We brought in, we just finished having an independent audit of every loan file by an outside financial consultant. And their findings concur to where we are. So if you look at our loan value or our portfolio value, about half is at risk. But before, 80% was at risk. And going forward, the way we're doing our practices now, we're not going to be in that business. It's just with the math of the amount of loans, and especially the ones from 14 to 15, a lot of them are not performing. So that's where we're at the pivot point of we're in trouble fixing it and headed toward we can do all these great things. We just need your support, and I welcome the accountability.
Okay. Can we get a copy of that letter? You know, you might.
It's kind of notes.
Would you maybe?
I could email it.
Yeah.
To
would
you?
You, would you
may I email it to you to share around?
Or yeah. Email it to the office.
Yeah. But that's basically a summary, and then I'm going to work with Mr. Vega with finance, and also Mrs. Rowe to finalize where we are on what the initial value of the revolving fund is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make that known as well.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
I would like to encourage all of you to take these brochures and read what's in here, because we do have several success stories, people that started out from nothing and didn't know how to write a business plan or what to do. We have one company in here that started with one, maybe two employees, and now I think they're up to either 6 or 8 employees.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of successful stories in here.
And I made sure in marketing I didn't include the ones that weren't paying us. we're just marketing the good ones. Yeah.
Chief?
Mr. Chairman, just for everyone's information, at the planning session next Tuesday, you'll have the first quarterly report that includes some of the information that's discussed, that was talked about here tonight, as well as some of the goals and objectives that they've set. So I just wanted to let you know that you'll be getting that copy on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you. Pete, questions?
No, I think he's on the right track.
David?
No.
And our output will get better. We purchased QuickBooks recently, and we're looking at designating someone to do, I can do each of these tasks, but also I'm going to need to bring in someone.
Yeah, good.
And then that'll make it easier. So our output will get better for the next time.
Okay.
Chairman?
No.
I just want to say that my understanding is that Adam Jones will be our representative.
That's
counsel,
correct. Yes.
The board will relish that. We need a representative on board because we always discuss transparency.
Have questions?
No.
Speaker? Joyce? James? Thompson? Thank you guys very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Next on the list is Secretary of Nation, Elijah McIntosh.
Yeah, that's a report.
report here tonight. I wasn't really sure what you wanted to report on, so I figured maybe we just start with questions.
Did y'all ask who asked Randy?
I did.
Oh, no.
What I'd ask, Elijah, is that any businesses that you got going on or anything, so when you catch us all up to speed on it. Anybody ask Randy?
Really, for the most part, I mean, I think y'all already heard about the broadband thing that we're working on. That's going to be a could be a pretty big one. But I mean, for the most part, Chief's kind of laid out the goals initially for our strategic plans. One is to focus on financial literacy and then increasing entrepreneurship. And so, in entrepreneurship, that's kind of what we're working on: the school loan fund, trying to provide access to capital. And then some of the things that we're doing in that department, I think you just heard that presentation. And then on the financial literacy side, we've got the partnership with Tinker, and that will be something that we may expand into the future. Right now, we're really targeting that for financial training, and we had that with the summer youth. I think we've mentioned that before here, but then we're also recently started with the financial training for employees, and we had an event on December 19th, and we had 179 employees and citizens attend, and then we had one on yesterday, actually, here, and had 139 attendees, and we're also doing pre- and post-surveys on that, and with the pre-surveys, I thought y'all might be interested in. Here's the some of the results. So, got it here somewhere. But for the most part, I mean, on that, we've got over half our employees have never received any type of financial literacy training, and so that's an area that we've targeted. And then on the investment side, one of the questions we asked was their kind of knowledge of managing investments, and 75% were not comfortable, and about the same percentage as a result didn't know investing outside their 401k. And then they also had a very limited side. Half the survey respondents didn't have any set aside for savings. And so.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Questions? Thank you. Come on. Next on the agenda is One Fire Holding Company.
Okay, so if we just flip to that first page there of the Riverwalk, you know, things continue to progress very well there. The Bramble restaurant opened up this Monday, actually. Traffic's been really good there. The fitness center, that Burn Boot Camp, opens up next week. State Farm and Spring Dental are moving in, I think both in February. Spring Dental, I know, is February 1st, but State Farm might be a little bit later. These bring occupancy, I believe, to a little over 95%. So growing, I mean, we've always considered 92 full occupancy because you always have some turnover. So, I mean, obviously it's not full, but it's about as full as you can expect. We had in December, just, I know I've mentioned different events we've had out there to you guys in the past. So in December, we had the first annual Very Merry Grinchmas. So it was Chris Grinch theme. It was, the crowd was about four times what we expected. There was, I think we estimated there was about 8,000 people out there. It was an hour line to take a picture with the Grinch. I mean, it was pretty, Second Chief Hicks was there, and I mean, he can speak to the crowd. It was, no, he was not the Grinch. No, yeah, it was pretty amazing. And the nice thing, and as I think I've mentioned in the past, and it's starting to come to fruition, the tenants are paying for all that. You know what I mean? So in the past where we've had to put on the events to get people, you know, to build up traffic, now the tenants are stepping up and doing that. So going very, very well out there. The next page on the council house, I think everybody's been out there probably at least a few times over the last couple months. We did receive the certificate of occupancy from the nation. And you know, there's still some punch list stuff and, you know, minor fixes here and there. Most important part is the, you know, as you'll recall, $1.5 million of the financing for that project came from historic tax credits. And the part three application, which is that final piece, has been submitted. They got the architect's approval, and so those funds are essentially approved at this point. It just still takes, should probably still be another 30 to 60 days before that actually takes place. So, you've seen for a couple years now, Pageant Aerospace, you know, in our investment portfolio. We are closing on, well, now 90% of that. I actually brought apart just to see something tangible of what they do, but I'm sure Representative Hill's familiar with these. But you know, so I mean, this is a CNC shop that makes aerospace parts of all sorts. You know, I think to Mr. Bunny had mentioned in the past, I mean, you know, we're the only tribe doing that. I mean, this is, and we own 90% of this company now. So, you know, just continue and try to grow that portfolio and do new things. And we're seeing very good trends with the company.
Where's Pez? Is it toward like Kellyville?
No, it's about like 161st East Avenue, okay, and Pine.
Okay.
I think that's right.
It's right off Pine Street, right, okay, out east. Mm-hmm. Really nice, you know, complex manufacturer of machine parts. They're just an aerospace machining company.
Sure. Lots of F-16 parts, a lot of military sales. Some starting to pick up some commercial. We actually were able to pick up through our efforts. We're now like direct with Gulfstream and some things like that. So diversifying the aerospace even a little bit outside of just military into the commercial side also. Thanks to most of your efforts, Muskogee Propane. It says the truck is on order, but the truck actually, this is a picture of it today. So that has been procured. We were probably a week or two away of finalizing the joint venture agreements with LaFerre. Where it originally looked like, I think when we first had talked about this, we were going to acquire about 43 of their current customers, and which was going to make it feasible. Looks like there's a strong likelihood now it's going to be more like 200 to 300, and which makes it not only feasible but profitable as soon as that route starts. So we're working with the nation on the design of the graphics on the truck and so forth, which should be happening over the next couple of weeks. So the next page, you know, last time we were here, we talked a little bit about looking at, you know, some of the individual performance on some of the different investments. So if you, this is, you remember we have equity investments and we have debt investments both. So this first page is just the equity investments, kind of looking at the gain and or loss over from our original investment to now. So these are the audited gains and losses as of right now. So to date, from the original amount we invested to the 9/30/17 value, the value of those investments have grown by $1.8 million.
What is a Thrive? What's that?
They do like online education in the business arena. A lot of business coaching, so forth. They show a fairly small loss over there. It's mainly because of they've grown a little bit slower than they originally anticipated. Everything's still trending up, it's just slower. So when the auditors go in, last year they actually wrote it up a little bit, this year they wrote it down a little bit. But, you know, they're comparing it against the forecasts we had provided them this last year. They changed their business model a little bit, so they don't have as many subscribers as they did because they're switching to more of a one-on-one coaching instead of a mass subscriber model. So, anyway, it wrote down a little bit. We anticipate it'll be just fine. So,
what's the Tulsa Club? What's that?
Tulsa Club is the tax credit financing we did on the Tulsa Club downtown. So similar to kind of like the. So the value hasn't changed, but we get an annual dividend essentially off of that financing.
Any questions on that, anybody?
Yeah, the quality aircraft session. I may not be in here. Who's that?
So it's QAA. They do wholesale parts and rehab parts for the small engine aircraft space.
They're the private aircraft, single engine. They're out on North Sheridan. They bring in like instruments and overhaul them. They have repair station licenses. When they brought the deal to us, they had a list of page long of FAA repair station capabilities, and so we felt like it would be a good investment. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, as evidenced by that, we just invested in them a year ago, and the value of that equity has already grown by more than half. They've done very, very well.
Any questions?
So next page does the same thing on the debt investments. That we currently hold, and as you can see collectively the earnings on that is about $700,000 on those investments. That pageant one will be coming off the books as debt and becoming equity with this close, where we will now own 90% of it. So essentially we're converting that debt to equity. So next page, this is the year that we need to start paying you guys a dividend. And because we told you last time we were going to, we weren't sure of the amount. Now we are. So in the way this has been calculated is our EBITDA was 1.5 million last year. A million of that was the audited gain on the investments. So it's not a cash gain, it's just gain in value. Mm-hmm. Some intercompany adjustments of, you know, a little more than $300,000 gives the adjusted EBITDA was the 145. So, you know, going along some of the past conversations of the 35% dividend, I have a check actually now for the dividend of $50,907. This 2018 projected is if nothing changed this year, if there's no new investments, no new growth, no investment write-ups, anything like that, that same number next year would be on the projected line. We don't expect that to be true because we think, you know, we'll have better EBITDA growth, we'll have, you know, better investment gains and so forth. Next page, just a quick blurb. We had a lot of fun with this as a team. We participated in Junior Achievement Program in Wetumpka and had all of our team participate in some of the different training exercises and so forth, had fun. We actually were starting then with the fourth grade class in Henrietta this year to do the same thing. If you're familiar with Junior Achievement, it's, you know, kind of financial literacy and so forth at the school level. It's something we've all had a lot of fun with. So next page, these are not new to you. We do have a goal this year to have a serious discussion on our ability to own real estate or not. We'd like to put that to bed, either for or against, either way, but, you know, just for our own planning purposes, for lots of things, you know, it's been discussed a lot. We'd like your direction on how to go one way or the other this year on that, just so that we can plan accordingly for the future. So.
Okay.
So you go past the orange tab. So these are the September 17 year end, which goes back to the dividend calculation. It's just the detail behind it. The insert in the very back, the loose page, is our preliminary December 17. I know you asked for December 17. We've been closing out the audit. This is the consolidated. What I really look you to point to there is, so our EBITDA through the first 3 months, so last year it was whatever that number was, not including, you know, it was 150 adjusted. Mm-hmm. You know, through our first 3 months this year is 170. So I mean, hopefully you'll see through that, I mean, it's trending well in the direction that we had all hoped.
On this loose page here, where it says one fire property management, that's the actually Riverwalk itself, right?
Correct.
And so right now they're losing December we're losing $48,000.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. Income's at 148. Sorry.
Yeah, the net income's 148. Yeah. Positive.
What's the owner distribution on that?
That's how the auditors have us account for the flying T. They have to account for that. I don't know. It's an auditing question. I'd have to get an answer from. I've never really understood it, but that's how they require it.
Find out what that is. I don't know what that would be. But it's pretty. When you find out, let me know. Well,
they've explained it to me before. I'll get a better explanation because, like I said, I've never understood why we have to make that adjustment. That's why line item above that.
Ask them to email you. They answer in email. Let me know.
Sure.
Any questions, Pete? Mm-hmm. David? Travis? Adam?
No.
Speaker?
I don't need the data on the trailer park, please.
What'd you say, sorry?
Trailer park.
I can give you a lot better update after tomorrow. We're having a big group session to talk about that, but it's there and operating as a trailer park still. We have our tentative plan at this point is that in the next 30 to 60 days, we'll be notifying all the tenants that it will be shut down and that they have 90 to 120 days to leave. That's the current plan. We're meeting tomorrow with legal and PR and the casino and everybody to kind of set that final plan in place and manage all the good and bad that's going to come along with that. So.
Robert said he wants to take that to you.
Okay.
I'll
gladly let you.
I appreciate that because that was one of the main things, discussion points, focal points on that piece of legislation was it was going to be cleaned off and we were going to flip it or retail it. 2 years.
Yeah.
Was the point. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Questions?
What's going on with the SIP plan in Tunica?
Not as much as we'd hope at this point. We're still trying to find customers, essentially. Over time there's been, different tribal initiatives. Some of those have gone well, some of those have not. We've pushed really hard in the architect and builder community. There's just a real lack of knowledge of the panels. And there's a I don't know if it's a fear or just a maybe the lack of understanding them. But we're continuing to push them. We do a decent amount right now. Most of what we're doing right now is just kind of selling even complete home packages and lumber packages and so forth to go along with the construction of the building of any type. But we've got some decisions to make, over the next quarter of exactly what direction it's going to head.
So who is your customers as far as building SIP panels for?
Of course, the nation's always been the biggest customer, whether it was housing or tribal construction or whatever. Outside of that, just individual builders that are familiar with them. We have some interest right now from some people. There's a guy in Kansas that, from what I can, everything I've seen, he's a pretty serious contributor to the SIPs community. I mean, as a builder, as a designer, so forth. He's looking for a new supplier. So we're hoping that gets some good traction going.
Is someone marketing
these? Yeah, no, I mean, we're actively, a lot of it's just reaching out directly to builders, architects, etc. Trying to get them on board to design and build with SIPs panels. But it's been slow.
Mm-hmm. James?
Yeah. So going back to the dividend, so who determined what the amount would be that you would give back to the nation?
35%.
The 35%, through various conversations we've had over the last couple of years, I think we've talked about that a few times in these meetings, which was just kind of always the number that we penciled out there as a good number.
By the legislation, there's the DFNJ, the chief, there's a committee that's supposed to determine that. That's what I'm asking.
We'd asked that question in the past and never been told that.
We can look at it. It's in the legislation. When it was to start in my own. But my question is, the construction company. What other projects are they doing?
We have about 6 million bids out right now. We don't have an ongoing project at this moment. We've got three bids out, I believe it is, for a total of about $6 million. And then separate from those, we're also hoping to work with the nation on electric vehicle charging stations. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Another question. Do you think from the SIPs, going back to what Representative was asking about, the nation chooses, well, there's been a lot of projects we was going to use the SIPs on, and then we haven't used those projects. Going to the Apollo Clinic, didn't use it from that.
Right.
So that kind of dropped the ball on the SIPs, and then kind of forced you to be in the red. I think there's legislation that can actually say shall, that actually forces us to use our own product and actually use our own materials through that company to keep that economy within our own tribe instead of buying it from everybody else's state, you know. So anyway, that's my choice, and that's what I'm saying. I feel like changing that possibly next month if we can. So
okay.
Anyway, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, thank you guys.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the Gaming Operations Authority Board, the GOAB. Motion made on executive session here. Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same time. We are in executive session. Time now is 8:40.